Thank you. And happy Mother's Day to all the ladies. It's Ladies' Day today. And even if you have not actually given birth to a child, we still celebrate you today because women always care for people, don't they? They're always caring for somebody because it's in their nature to do that. So celebrations to you too. All right, we're just finishing off collecting the offering. And so when we've done that, just say hi to somebody next to you and I'll have a drink. Can say to them, this will be interesting. Let's see how she goes, eh? So I thought I would talk about all the things that men know about women. Because it's Ladies' Day today. So I hunted around, I did some research, and can you see what I came up with? Nothing. And that's a bit old, is it, Jackie? Oh, sorry. So, no, I'm not going to be able to talk to you about that today, so I had to find something else. So I've come up with another story to share with you. So a bit about me, first of all. If you don't know me, I'm Rochelle Warwick, married to David, and David and I lead the church here. I was born here in Perth, in King Edward Memorial Hospital, with a few others of you out there, yes. And my parents, two Christian parents, Ozzy and Melva Molyneux, who are over there. Ozzy and Melva, give us a wave. That's my mum and dad. And my sister next to them over there. So I was born to Christian parents. And then when I was a year old, they took me to Papua New Guinea because they decided to be missionaries in New Guinea. And so they took me and my sister, who's a little bit older than me, a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and off we went to New Guinea. And mum and dad served in New Guinea for 12 years as missionaries. While they were there, they had Ruth, my sister, and twin boys as well. So there were five of us in all when we came back. And when we came back to Perth, they bought a house in Kewdale, and I started year eight at Kewdale Senior High School. And mum and dad still live there today. Our family attended the Cloverdale AOG Church on Epsom Avenue, and that's where I met David. And we later married in 1983. And, yeah, I'm still recovering from that time. Now, I don't think I'm going to get many more digs in here, but, you know, I'm trying. So anyway, I've been in a Christian environment all of my life, but I had to make my own decision to follow Jesus, and I did that. And when I was a child, I trusted God with everything to help us in everything we did, especially when we lived in New Guinea, because things were sometimes difficult there. And I had real childlike faith, because I just believed God would help us with anything. And things would happen in New Guinea, like when rains would come, the floods would come down the river from the mountain, and often we would have to travel across rivers to go from A to B. And Dad had a ute vehicle, and we would travel in that. But the floods would come, and that would just flood the whole river. Sometimes it would even wipe the bridge out. And so you'd be stuck there. And what would happen is people would just sit on the side of the road and wait in their vehicle, just wait until this tide went down, and then we could go. But when the tides came, the whole water changed colour and trees came floating down, and that's how the bridges got wiped out. Anyway, one day we were sitting by the river waiting for the tide to go down, and there was a big truck there. So the man who drove the truck said, "Hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we tie the ute to the truck and I'll pull you across the river?" And obviously Dad agreed to that and said, "Sure, okay." So fortunately, Mum and the kids, we got into the cab of the truck, but Dad was driving the ute and decided to go across, because otherwise it was going to take too long to sit and wait for the tide to go down. I mean, it took hours. So off they went, pulling the ute behind on a piece of rope. Anyway, as the ute got into the river, the tide was so strong and it took the ute down the river. Yeah. And so we're in the truck and we're obviously, I assume, Mum was praying. And help us, Jesus. Anyway, the ute's gone down the river, and fortunately, just at the last minute, the truck was able to pull the ute out, the wheel came back onto the bridge, and it came out of the river. And we learned a lesson that day, not to do that again. But things in the back of the ute got washed out because the ute got filled up with water and so on. But anyway, that kind of thing happened a lot. And so I developed childlike faith where I believed that God would help us. But then when we came back to Perth to live, things weren't always that way. And I remember in my early 20s, we were at the Armidale Church. David's father was the pastor. And a young family man got cancer. And so we all prayed for this man's healing. And this sick man repented of every sin he could think of. And he forgave every person who had hurt him. Anything he could think of, he forgave. He gave back anything he had stolen. Not that he was a thief, but, you know, he might have borrowed something from somebody and still had it. Gave that back. And we as a church, you know, we prayed and we bound the devil and we rebuked the devil and we loosed everything and we declared healing and we confessed healing and we did it all. But the man still died. And you could imagine for us, it was like, oh, the man died after all that, you know. What do you do when God doesn't answer the prayer like you asked him to do? We've all faced those situations, haven't we? Well, there's a story in the Bible about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And it's found in Daniel chapter 3. We'll read some of it soon, but first I'll tell you a little bit about the story. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they're three guys. They were young Israelite men who had been taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible tells us that they were strong, healthy, handsome young men, well-versed in every branch of learning, gifted with knowledge and good judgment, suited to serve in the royal palace. But they were put in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon. The king would inquire of them for wisdom and understanding. He liked them a lot. He really thought they were top guys. But one day, King Nebuchadnezzar had an idea. And he decided to make a very large golden statue. He set it up on the plains of Babylon, and then he called for all the officials, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, everyone to come for the dedication of the statue that he had set up. This included Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they had all gathered, the herald, the man who reads out the notices, he read out the command. He said, "Hear ye, hear ye. When you hear the music played, you must all bow down and worship the golden statue." And then he said that if they didn't do that, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make a decision. They believed in God. And they knew that they should not worship other gods, but if they didn't bow down and worship the stone god, they knew they would be killed. Tough decision to make. So they decided not to bow down and worship this idol, but before long, some people dobbed them in to the king. They went and said, "These guys, those Jewish guys, they are not bowing down to your statue." The king was furious when he heard this. He commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought to him, and when they came before him, he offered them another chance. He said, "Guys, I'll give you another go at it. All right, you can have another try. When you hear the music played, bow down. And I'm warning you, if you don't do it, I'll be throwing you into the fiery furnace." So then, let's look at Daniel chapter 3. It's there on the screen, but I'm going to open it to here. And this is what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you have set up. That was what they declared. And that's the point that I want to get across to you today, is that that bit really strikes me in there where they say, our God will save us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve any other God. All right, so let's see what happened in the story. I'm going to read the next bit. It says, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Then suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisers, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed. And the 4th man looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not even touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothes were not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to an even higher position in the province of Babylon. Hooray! So, great story, and it ends really well for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, doesn't it? But imagine them in that time, and they were being tied up by the guards there, ready to be thrown in. And then they hear it said, "We're going to make this fire 7 times hotter than usual." They'd be thinking to themselves, "Help, God, now's a good time to come and rescue us." Yeah. Perhaps they thought, you know, like when we see these Western movies with Jackie Chan, you know, and the good guy's about to be hung, and then from nowhere, there's a gunshot, and it breaks the rope. And then just out of the blue, a horse gallops by, and the fellow falls on the horse, and he rides off to safety. Yay! They might have been thinking, "Come on, God, do a miracle for us here." But it didn't happen. They actually got thrown into the fire. But then we hear that God joined them in the fire. The answer to their prayer came through God joining them in the fire. So that's how he saved them, by joining them in that fire. He didn't stop the fire coming, it still came, but he saved them by being with them in the fire. A lady in our church who you all know, Trish Evans, has now passed. She's gone to be with the Lord. She had cancer for 28 years, but her death was not a defeat. It was a victory. She trusted God to heal her. But like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, she said, even if he doesn't, I will not serve another God. So God joined her in the fire. And I remember Trish telling me of a time when she was in remission from the cancer. And she said to me, the Holy Spirit has told me that the cancer is back. She went to the doctor and she had tests done, but no cancer was found. But Trish felt strongly that the Lord had told her that the cancer was there. So she insisted that they check more thoroughly because she was sure God had told her. And after further checks, they did find the cancer. And they hadn't seen it because it was hidden behind the breast bone in her chest. So they were able to treat the cancer, and Trish lived on for many more years. Now, why didn't God take the cancer away? I don't know. But I do know that he walked in the fire with Trish, and she held on to her faith, and she was a great example to us of how to rest in God, even in difficult times. And Trish said, I will not bow down to any other God, and she didn't. Right. Yeah. Now, recently, well, actually, about 6 years ago, David's mother started to show signs of having dementia. We prayed for her for a healing. We continued to pray. But recently, David's father, John, found it difficult to care for her anymore. And so it came time to try to find a nursing home for her to go into. Difficult decision to make. And after praying and praying for a healing and that not coming, it was what we had to do. So anyway, David's father looked around at all the nursing homes and he inquired, and he came away being told that he would have to pay around about $500,000 to put her into care. Well, he didn't have that much money. He doesn't have $500,000, does he?
No.
Well, he's not sharing it with us if he has. Anyway, he came away like so upset. He says, what am I going to do? I haven't got $500,000. In fact, we have no assets at all. He doesn't even own a house. He had nothing. And he was like, what are we going to do? I can't care for her anymore. And he was just distraught with not knowing what to do. So we talked about it and inquired a bit more. And then one day, a few days later, David was walking the dogs, as he does every morning, through Amaru village. Early in the morning, you know, 7:30. And as he walked through Amaru, the CEO of Amaru, David Fenwick, who we know, he drove in to work. He came into work and David saw him getting out of his car. So he thought, I'm going to go have a talk to him. So off he went and had a talk to David Fenwick. And David, he explained the whole situation about his mother and the cost and everything. And David Fenwick said, don't worry, I can sort that out for you. Tell your dad, come and see me on Thursday, 2:00. So David and his dad went and had an appointment with David Fenwick down there. And he explained that if you had no assets, it wasn't going to cost anything more than your pension to pay for the fees. And in addition to that, they've just built a brand new facility down there for people with dementia. And they had vacancies still. Amazing. Yeah. Praise God. So they said, we'll take her in 2 weeks' time. So they were able to take her into there, and it's going really well. She's been there now a month. We went there yesterday and had a barbecue together because it's such a lovely facility. They have grounds where you can have a barbecue and sit and all of that, and it's going really well. And we just praise God that that came to pass for us. So even when we are having difficult times, God is still with us in the fire. I remember when I was pregnant with our first child, a long time ago, before there were even mobile phones. And at 34 weeks pregnant, you go for the people, men who don't know, you go for 40 weeks, all right? 40 weeks pregnancies, yeah. 34 weeks, so that's still a little bit early, 6 weeks still to go. I suddenly became very sick with toxemia, just in one day, just instantly sick. And so I was admitted to Armidale Hospital, and after a few hours, I was rushed by ambulance to King Edward Hospital because my blood pressure was going higher and higher and my face was swelling up. I was almost unrecognisable. At this time, David worked on St. George's Terrace in an office in the city, and the ambulance went down St. George's Terrace past his building. I hadn't been able to talk to him on the phone because there weren't any phones, but we did get a message to his office. So David came and met me at the hospital, and they rushed me straight in for a cesarean birth because they said, you've got to get that baby out straight away or both of you will die. Jared was delivered, and he weighed 3.5 pounds, and he was 6 weeks early, and they said he was still very small for even that date. Many people prayed with us at that time for us, and it was a difficult time. Jared had to stay in hospital. I went home, and we had to go back and forward visiting for about 5 weeks. But God was faithful to us, and he brought us through that time and gave us a healthy child. And then a few years later, I got pregnant again, and they said, oh, well, we better keep a check on this one because, you know, you might get this again. So they, at 34 weeks, they did a scan, and they said to me, the baby's very small for dates. You know, they can tell how big a baby's supposed to be. They said, it's very small. Come back in 2 weeks' time, and we'll scan again, and we'll see what we need to do. So off we went, and we prayed all those 2 weeks, God, make this baby grow, and make him big, and take him to full term, and give us a miracle here. And so we went back 2 weeks later, and they did the ultrasound again. And first the nurse goes, oh, there it is. Oh, that's good. And I said, what? She said, oh, there's the heartbeat. Oh, great. There's a heartbeat. Great. And then they measured the baby and they said, no growth at all. Oh, no growth at all. And so it was small. So they again said, get straight into hospital and we'll have to do another cesarean and get this baby out. And so they did, and Benjamin was born 4 pounds. And he was healthy though, so he was able to come home sooner than Jared had. But praise God, we got through all that, of course, and today we have two very healthy sons. And God blessed us and kept us in that time and walked with us through that fire. So there's two things that I want you to remember. We need to look at the bigger picture. This world's not our home, we're just passing through. And we are headed for heaven, and in heaven, there won't be any more troubles. Revelation 21, verse 3 tells us, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The second thing I want to remind you of is that God will never leave you. If you've made him Lord in your life, God's never going to leave you. Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2 tell us, listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Amen. And Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, for the Lord has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And the last scripture I want to share with you is Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's so much better to have Jesus in your life, isn't it? I see so many people coming through our church through the week, homeless people, drug addicts, alcoholics, coming through, and I hear their stories and I think, how can you live life without Jesus? And we try to offer them Jesus, and a lot of the time they don't want to take it. And you think, why? How can you do life without Jesus? We all need Jesus in our lives, don't we? And perhaps today you're here and you actually haven't got Jesus in your life. You've been trying to do life on your own. And you have maybe been really struggling with that. And now it's time for you to think about taking Jesus into your own life. We've all sinned. We've all done things wrong. And we need to ask God to forgive us. The Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all wickedness. Would you like to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins today? Is there anyone here who would like to do that? Perhaps we can just pray. And if somebody is here who doesn't know Jesus yet, give me a wave so I can pray for you and ask Jesus to forgive your sins and you can start to have a relationship with God. Is there somebody who would like me to pray that prayer for them? Great. Fantastic. Good on you. Someone else? Okay. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful to you that you made a plan. You sent Jesus to die for us. And we want to admit that we are sinners and that we need you in our lives. And so, God, we ask that you would come. I pray especially for this lady, that you will come and fill her life with your peace, your presence, that she will turn from her sins and she will put you in charge of her life and she'll follow you all the days of her life. In Jesus' name, amen. But perhaps some of you, the rest of you I know are Christians, and I know a lot of you, but some perhaps you've been tempted to give up on God and you haven't actually been thinking that you're going to just serve one God. Maybe you've been tempted to follow some other gods too. I want to pray for you today too. If you've been distracted, thinking, oh, maybe I can't trust God, maybe this isn't going to work out for me. Will we close your eyes, please, and give me an indication that you want prayer for that today. Let's pray together. Father, we just pray for these people who are having doubts, who are being tempted to follow other gods, to turn away from you. Father, I pray for them that you will strengthen their faith and that they will make a resolution in their own heart today that they will not look at any other God. They will only serve you for the rest of their lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, let's be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, our God will save us, but even if he doesn't, what are we going to do? We will never worship any other God. Amen.